Hello, you're listening to Microbe Talk, the podcast from the Microbiology Society. I'm Charlie, and this episode is a special one for Disability History Month. Today's episode is looking at accessibility in science. For this episode, I travelled to Staffordshire University to meet Kirsty Jones to talk about her experience. I started by meeting Kirsty in a room by her office to learn more about her personal experience and accessibility requirements.
So I'm Kirsty, I'm a third year PhD student here at Staffordshire University, and I'm currently investigating the roles of selective proteases within the yeast stress and programmed cell death response. My disabilities, physically I've got cerebral palsy, which means that I have reduced dexterity down the right side of my body, and I'm also dyslexic and I have ADD.
Can we talk about what ADD is, just in case people don't know?
So ADD is attention deficit disorder, so essentially ADHD without the hyperactivity.
You were saying when we were talking earlier, you find it sometimes hard to keep something in your mind.
Yeah. How I manage my ADD in the lab is that I have to have things written down step by step, so that I don't get lost within certain experimental processes, sort of limiting the sort of distraction almost. And I have to be sort of quite strict with setting deadlines, because with PhD work you don't tend to have as many deadlines, so I have to sort of set myself micro deadlines to try and keep my focus a little bit more
that makes sense,
than
yeah.
usual, which sort of plays into the cerebral palsy part, because as being a scientist with a reduced dexterity, I've kind of have to sort of problem solve in on a personal level in terms of how to get around actually physically doing the experiments and not just the experiments themselves. So I have to sort of put in a little bit more effort on placement of different chemicals or equipment, so that I can get to whatever quite easily, and I'm not sort of held up and essentially stuck. I tend to be a lot more sort of reliant on test tube racks as well, because my reduced usage of my hands.
Right, okay, yeah, so maybe we could talk about that when we go up to the lab. Mm-hmm. So do you mean with the placement of stuff? Do you mean that before you get started, you have to make sure you put everything in a place?
It has to be kind of systematically set up, and I've almost got to run through it in my head first and think about how I'm going to handle certain pieces of equipment.
Would it be helpful to know more people who are scientists who have a form of disability?
I think it would. Because especially from lower levels of education, when people start considering what they actually want to do as a career, sometimes without having that representation, they're like, is that sort of possible? So I met with a couple of individuals kind of recently, and we had a lot of Me Too moments, and that sort of eliminates some of the sort of isolation that you get, which you would get for like just as a general PhD student, but with someone with sort of any underlying conditions or chronic illness, there's that sort of added isolation on top, I think.
Right.
So it was nice to sort of talk to other individuals and go, oh yeah, I've got to so and so, I've done this, have you tried this way? And it was really nice to have a chat.
Do you feel happy to share any of the things from that?
Well, first and foremost, the most sort of easiest thing that I can remember is just simply putting gloves on, which is kind of fundamental in working in a lab. So because of the sort of limited range of movement in my right hand, I find it really hard to put gloves on sometimes.
Right.
And sometimes they don't always want to stay exactly where they would like, because I have to have like a size a little bit bigger just to get it on and off, because of the position of my hand. But yeah, it's just really sort of little things like that to start off with that probably people wouldn't even consider. I would say to someone, think about their accessibility and needs within the lab. Every individual with either a disability or chronic illness is that in fact an individual, and we all experience things in different ways, and it's just getting an understanding of what works best for you in the lab. And I found it best sort of like open communication, and there would be some things that haven't been considered before, but sometimes they don't arise until that moment. If you don't sort of like voice your needs, people probably won't know that that might be an issue. If you've got that idea in your head that you want to work in the lab, and you feel like there's certain barriers in place, and going back to that sort of open communication will help you overcome those barriers. And you know that there is a place for people with disabilities and chronic illnesses in the lab.
To show me what her working day looks like, Kirsty took me to a couple of the labs she works in. Here we were joined by Dr. Arthur Hosey.
I'm Dr. Arthur Hosey. I'm course director in biological sciences here at Staffordshire University, but I'm a microbiologist. I've been did my first degree in microbiology and been in microbiology research and teaching ever since.
So we're just stood in a teaching lab at the moment. Actually, we're sat in a teaching lab at the moment, and you just pointed out to me one thing that Staffordshire University has incorporated into your teaching labs. Could you explain what that is?
Yeah, of course, we've got quite diverse students, as most universities do have, and we've got to consider making sure that all teaching is accessible to all students. So what you've just highlighted is the fact that all labs, all the teaching labs, have benches that can actually be raised or lowered. That's particularly important. We have had students, in fact, still have students that use wheelchairs, so therefore the benches can be raised or lowered to that exact height to make sure that the students can access their teaching. We also have to consider lots of other diverse aspects as well. I mean, all the labs have been equipped with hearing loops. Sometimes, however, the labs, even though we've gone out of our way to design the labs for access and to make sure that teaching is accessible to all, just sometimes small things get in the way. But fortunately, the students raise these things and we can actually respond.
That's kind of what you were saying, Kirsty, wasn't it, about the communication and, you know, how individual these things are.
Disability is such an umbrella term that people have different conditions. It is a very broad spectrum of individuals that we try to be more accessible in the lab for.
Just on that, do you have any advice to someone working in your position at other universities who may not have had such experience in these things? What would you say to someone in your position?
There will be people in all universities that have that experience, and so it's actually being able to identify who's the go-to person to identify the needs. So it's just about being aware and making sure that you don't assume anything. And as I said, some of these disabilities are hidden, and we have to actually treat every student as an individual, but be aware that sometimes they may need that just small adjustments, because education should be accessible to all.
We move from that teaching lab to another one, and in this one, Kirsty has some work set up in a corner. So we're just stood in the lab that Kirsty normally works in, and we're not going to go through the experiments today, but as you're sat here, Kirsty, we were talking about some things that you have to think about could you talk us through, what was the experiment you were going to talk us through, the growth experiment? Could you talk us through that, what you think about?
I sort of doing an inoculation in universals, and even just sort of the placement of how I open the universal and a whole, you know, where to put the lid, and essentially because it's microbiology, just keep it sort of, bear in mind to keep it aseptic as well as working around my physical differences in the experiment. So it's just finding the right places that are not too far away to stretch, or, you know, not too far away from the Bunsen and all these things to consider. So sometimes I struggle to open certain gerands, and it's just finding the placements. As I've mentioned, I often use test tube racks to put like the microfuge tubes in, so that I've got a hand free to pipette the yeast from one tube to another, and it's just placement really, so it doesn't also compromise, you know, the outcome of the experiment as well.
Yeah, makes sense. But there's nothing here that's formally like adapted or anything, is there? No.
No, currently I just use standard pipettes, and possibly looked into using it like an automatic pipette, but it's just working my way through the processes. And as I say, sometimes I don't know myself what is needed until I get to that point. So it's, it's a learning curve.
I actually stopped recording at this point, but Dr. Hosey then made a comment about the importance of collaboration of universities and societies in the future of accessible science. So I turned the mic back on to catch what he'd said there.
Yeah, I was just talking about a meeting that I was in yesterday, and of course the universities developing access and participation plans. I was discussing it with our associate dean student about how important it was that we actually worked alongside societies such as the Microbiology Society and actually made our students aware of the good work that societies are doing. I do know that the Microbiology Society has done a lot for inclusion, not just about gender equality but also disability equality in Black History Month, for example. And I think it's important that we don't work in isolation as universities, but we work with the professional societies such as our Microbiology Society to actually get alongside and make sure that we're actually making sure that everything's accessible for all.
Kirsty, is there anything like, because we were talking about that power of a network, and I know that you said that you actually don't feel like you've got one yet of other scientists in your position. Do you think that there's more that people like places like the Microbiology Society could be doing with that stuff?
Potentially we could look at organising sessions to bring awareness, and that's why I kind of agreed to do this podcast, because I don't think this sort of side has that much visibility when it comes to working in the labs, and and so I just wanted to bring it to like people's attention, and and regardless of whether it's out of my comfort zone or not, but yeah, it's, I just thought it was important to show a different perspective from someone that has a disability.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Microbe Talk. If you have any feedback or you'd like to share your story, please do get in touch. If you'd like to appear on a future episode of Microbe Talk, please also get in touch via our website.